So it's my pleasure this morning to introduce a special speaker. Jocelyn Rankin is our guest speaker this morning. Jocelyn is native to Montreal. She holds a Bachelor of Science in Environmental Science from McGill University, as well as a Master's in Environmental Studies from Dalhousie University. Jocelyn is presently the Freshwater Coordinator, working at the Ecology Action Center's on coastal issues. So I'm very grateful that Jocelyn's been able to come to speak to us this morning, and I've given her the impossible task of talking about a major project in a very limited time. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for inviting me to speak with you today. As Reverend Hrofker mentioned, I'm the Water Coordinator at the Ecology Action Center. The Ecology Action Center is an environmental nonprofit organization that was founded in 1971 by folks such as Brian Gifford and others. And for more than 40 years, the center has brought together passionate citizens and groups from fields as diverse as wilderness protection, coastal and marine ecology, agriculture, waste management, energy, transportation, and urban planning. The organization has more than 4,000 members and more than 40 staff. So this morning I would like to tell you a little bit about the historic Sawmill River and the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to restore and revitalize this river. The story begins with the first peoples, the Mi'kmaq, who occupied this land for over 10,000 years prior to colonization. They were skilled paddlers and traveled by canoe through the streams and rivers that crisscrossed the land. One particularly important navigational route was from Kitchibukchuk, the Great Harbor, to Wekopekwek, or the Kabakwid Bay in the Bay of Fundy. The route was more than a river, more than a canal. It was a web of rivers and lakes connected by portage trails. This route was also a source of food. Mi'kmaq fished salmon, trout, eels, and gaspereau from its waters. In the 1800s, a settler by the name of John Wentworth, who also happened to be the governor, was inspired by the navigational route used by the Mi'kmaq, and he dreamt of building a canal that would connect the Atlantic Ocean to the Bay of Fundy. The plan was to build a system of locks that would allow ships to travel between lakes and rivers. His dream was completed in 1853, and was called the Shubenacadie Canal. One important link in the canal was through the city of Dartmouth. So to understand the importance of that link in the canal, I have to take a step back and mention that Dartmouth is also called the City of Lakes, and rightfully so. In the heart of Dartmouth are two lakes, Lake Mi'kmaq, which flows into Lake Binuk, which then flows into Sullivan's Pond. And Sullivan's Pond didn't exist pre-colonization. Instead, a narrow stream flowed from Lake Binuk to the harbor, like we can see on the map. This stream was part of the important link in the Shubenacadie Canal. So the map that's shown is from 1808, and you probably can recognize the Halifax Harbour in the Northwest Arm. And if you go to the next slide, we'll zoom in to the city of Dartmouth, just a small town at the time in 1808. But I can point out the lakes that existed and still do exist. In the second lake, if you follow the outflow towards the harbor, you'll see a small stream. And that stream empties out into Dartmouth Cove and the Halifax Harbor. So this is the stream that I was talking about. So when settlers founded the city of Dartmouth, they built a sawmill along the banks of this river and decided to name this stream Sawmill River. Soon after the sawmill was built, a manufacturing company called Star Manufacturing was established along the banks of the river and began making iron nails. Not long after that, they began manufacturing the first ice skates in Canada. Star skates became so popular that they were sold across Canada and in Europe. Even NHL hockey players at the time wore star skates. So throughout this time, the stream kept flowing to the ocean up until 1971. And in that year, there was a big storm, perhaps some of you remember it, Hurricane Beth, which brought 266 millimeters of rain over 24 hours. This caused the Sawmill River to overflow its banks, and it flooded parts of downtown Dartmouth. After the disaster was cleaned up, the city engineers decided that the river should be buried underground. In 1972, a steel pipe was installed, and the flow of the river was directed through this pipe underground. This created an insurmountable barrier for migratory fish like wild Atlantic salmon, gasparo, American eels, and sea run trout, who are unable to swim against a fast-flowing current in a dark pipe. These fish were cut off from their freshwater spawning grounds in the lakes. So maybe next slide. I forgot to show some of these photos. This is a photo of Star Manufacturing, and you can see the stream there flowing just sort of behind the buildings. Next slide. And this is a different perspective, but you can see St. James Church in the foreground, and the stream, of course, flowing down towards the harbor. Next slide. And finally, this is looking back towards the harbor. So in the foreground is Sullivan's Pond, and you can still see the background of St. James Church, and that's sort of the image of the harbor. So as I was saying, the pipe was put in a buried in a culvert underground, which prevented fish from reaching their freshwater spawning grounds in the lakes. And thankfully, the story doesn't end there. Maybe we'll go to the next slide. So this is a photo of the flood that happened in 1971. So you perhaps can recognize some of Sullivan's Pond. There's a little lighthouse there on the island. And of course, you can see just how much water that was, 266 millimeters of rain. Next slide. And so this is now what we know of as this area of Dartmouth. On the top of the screen, you can see the bottom of Sullivan's Pond. And the blue line represents where the stream now flows underground in a buried culvert. So I'll leave that up for a little bit. So as I was saying, the story doesn't end there. Over 40 years later, the steel pipe in which the Sawmill River now flows is deteriorating and needs to be replaced. Halifax Regional Water Commission is planning on replacing the buried pipe in 2016. Meanwhile, the Department of Fisheries and Oceans is requiring Halifax Water to provide fish passage. Though regulations under the Fisheries Act existed in 1972 when the river was buried, those regulations weren't enforced. One option for replacing the buried pipe would be for Halifax Water to build a bigger, more expensive pipe and design baffles and fishways inside the pipe to make sure fish can swim upstream. However, designing a system for fish to swim upstream in an underground pipe over 600 meters long is quite a challenge. Fish don't like swimming in buried pipes to begin with. They also need slow-moving water where they can stop and rest, which is hard to create in a pipe. There is also the challenge of cleaning out the fishway when it gets clogged with branches, leaves, litter, and other debris. Another option would be to return the river to the surface, called daylighting. From an ecological perspective, an exposed stream would likely be more successful for providing fish passage to migratory fish. From an environmental perspective, daylighted streams are 23 times more effective at processing nutrients like nitrogen than buried streams. It would also attract more birds, frogs, and other aquatic animals. The banks of the stream could be vegetated and bring more green space into the community. It could be a beautiful place to sit and listen to the water gurgle. Daylighting of rivers is a movement that is gaining momentum around the world as urban planners, community members, councillors, and mayors are seeing the many benefits of bringing water and nature back into the heart of cities. So now I have some photos to show you where streams have been uncovered and restored. So next slide. This is from the city of Seoul in South Korea. At one time, a river flowed where this super 15-lane highway now exists. You can see in the upper photo, the black and white. And this is a more updated photo down below. So as the country of South Korea began to grow and expand its industry, many people decided they wanted to have cars and that they should build super highways. except that in the 1970s and 80s, these superhighways became clogged with traffic and became an eyesore and, were a source of pollution and poor air quality. And so the city planners in the city of Seoul decided that they were going to bring back the river to its rightful place. Next slide. And this is what it looks like today. So of course you can see the beautiful difference that bringing a stream back can do to a city, and it's such an asset to this, I shouldn't say, well, community of many millions of people, and the, green space and the water can help purify the air and bring nature back into the city. Next slide. Now this is a city a little bit closer to home. This is a town called Yonkers, about 3 kilometers north of Manhattan in New York City. And there was once a stream flowing through the town of Yonkers. In this photo, you can see that they're already in the process of covering it over. The town planners wanted to build a large plaza in the center of the city with parking spaces and shops all around. So I'll draw your attention to one building in particular. Here. So that's the train station, and we'll see it in upcoming slides. But as I was mentioning, they're building a flume to cover the river and be able to, in order to pave it over. Next slide. So now you can see what it looked like after the river was buried, and you'll recognize that building again, that sort of train station building in the background. And so this is what Larkin Plaza looked like for many, many years. Up until not too recently, in 2010, when businesses around this plaza were struggling and there was a lot of poverty and very little investment in the community. And so, again, the city engineers and planners decided that they were going to restore the river. Next slide. And this is what it looks like today. So again, you can see the train station-like building in the background. And this river also happens to be called Sawmill River. So it creates a great analogy for what we can do here in our community. And so those are some of the projects and ideas that I wanted to share with you. And if anybody's interested in more information, both of these projects in Seoul, South Korea, and the Sawmill River in Yonkers are featured in a documentary film called Lost Rivers. It's actually a Canadian documentary. So I believe that's the end of my photos. Oh, this is the last photo. So I've used this for a few campaign leaflets and things to inspire people that this is also possible in our community in Dartmouth. So this is the project that we've been working on at the Ecology Action Center. And we have more information on our website, which is ecologyaction.ca/sawmillriver. So I hope this has provided you a little bit of inspiration, perhaps some photos of beauty that you can think about and perhaps mention to your family members and friends when this topic comes up or in other spaces. So I thank you very much for your attention. And if anybody wants to or has more questions after the service, I'm happy to stick around for a little while.